2020 was a landmark year for a lot of obvious reasons, and a significant one for the automotive industry when it comes to sustainability. As we have learned from the regular visits from Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. This is Robert Colangelo here on Green Sense with our look back on a year in green automotive news. Tom, welcome to Green Sense.
Well, thanks for having me.
It's our last show of the year. Can you believe it?
I cannot. This year, in many ways, this year dragged by and it also flew by. It's been a very weird 12 months.
Well, let's put a bow on it and put it in the past and let's look forward to 2021. But before we get there, if you could sum up 2020 when it comes to green cars, what word comes to mind? You only get one.
One word? Okay, if you're going to give me the hyphen, I'm going to go with setup.
Okay, I'll allow that. Why setup?
We are on the verge of an awful lot of EV product, consumer available mainstream EV product coming on the market very soon. And this was a year of preparation for that. We have vehicles coming from Ford and Nissan and Chevy and VW that should be priced under 40 grand or around 40 grand that will very much let us know how willing the public is to accept those vehicles.
Why would the public not want to accept an EV?
I think it's still a question of education. We have two large barriers right now, and that is charging for people who don't have homes or condos where they can charge, and the perception of EVs as slow or difficult to own. And I think that we can start to overcome those this year with mainstream product.
Living in the Chicago metro area, what's the two things you like least about driving in the wintertime?
About driving in the wintertime?
Yes.
We're talking about EVs. EV range is still compromised in the wintertime.
I was just talking in general. For me, it's scraping that ice off my windshield and it's putting gas in the car. I would think driving an EV at least solves one of those issues.
It does, yes. The beauty of that too is that with an EV, you can program your vehicle in most cases to be warm when you get into it, having used power from your wall outlet so you're not even tapping your battery. It's a wonderful thing to get into a warm car.
Like you said, education. Well, let's get into it, Tom, and let's look at some of the big developments in green transportation news. And we'll start out with electric vehicles. A high in the market was a company called Lucid that a lot of people may not have heard about. So elucidate on Lucid for us.
Lucid is the electric car company, the startup company, that probably is coming closest to emulating Tesla's original product. Their first product will be something called the Air, A-I-R, which is almost identical to the Tesla Model S in dimensions. Also in performance, with kind of a caveat and a plus, their launch edition, their Dream Edition vehicle, will be very expensive. It's going to start over $160,000, almost exactly the same size as a Model S, but they're promising 500 miles of range and an almost insane 1,100 horsepower.
Wow. What's the 0 to 60 on that?
They're saying 2.5 seconds to 60 and a sub 10-second quarter mile. This is the stuff of performance dreams.
Isn't that starting to approach the limits of the laws of physics?
I think you can't get cars to go too much faster. There's questions.
And I don't know how long your tires last at 235 miles an hour.
There is that too. Also, electric vehicles use an awful lot of energy at top speed, so you don't want to do that too much.
Well, the electric vehicle industry didn't have all good news. There was a startup, Nikolai, which had some great promise, but what happened there?
That was a crazy situation. Nikola and General Motors had reached a handshake agreement for General Motors to provide fuel cells, batteries, and to assemble vehicles for Nikola. These first vehicles were going to be pickup trucks, and it looked like it was going to happen. Nikola was kind of an exciting startup, had a Tesla-like feel to it, and its CEO, Trevor Milton, had that same charismatic thing going on that Elon Musk has. So as it turns out, that might have been what General Motors was looking for, was that sort of charisma and good brand, because Nikola came under scrutiny. A company called, appropriately, Hindenburg Research looked into Nikolai and decided that they had been misleading shareholders as to the development, their technological development. this was all very embarrassing. Trevor Milton had to step down, and General Motors did not go ahead with this agreement. There was a quieter deal in the background where GM has agreed to provide fuel cells to Nikola for over-the-road Class 8 trucks, but the original deal to build pickups seems to be gone.
And wasn't there some shareholder issues and misappropriation of funds?
There's all sorts of weird stuff that hasn't come fully to light yet, but yeah, it was embarrassing that General Motors stepped away.
Well, we talked about the high and low in electric vehicles. Let's talk about the middle, and you can't talk about EVs without Tesla. So what do you have to say about that?
They had a spectacular year, although not as much in the U.S. as they've had in China. They opened their factory in China. They're close to opening a factory in Germany. And it seems the Chinese really like their small cars, the Model 3 and the Model Y. And they're going to be developing a small hatchback based on those vehicles for China, too. That'll be exclusive to that market. So now Tesla is an international company. They're kind of close to making money. Every time you turn around, they've accomplished something new and have grown.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. And Tom, you know, maybe the average person, you know, myself, it sounds pretty easy to put an electric engine and a drivetrain into an existing car. Why are all these electric startups having so much trouble?
What costs money is to develop the architecture for a vehicle. And you're right, it is easier to develop an electric car than a gasoline-powered car. That you don't have to deal with the emissions or the fuel system. But that said, still getting a car built and doing the logistics, the average car has about 30,000 separate pieces that all have to be contracted. The logistics, the manufacturing, the distribution is a problem too. Traditional automakers have a dealership network. These new manufacturers do not. So you're counting on people to be able to order these and be willing to buy them, sometimes without driving them. We just talked about Lucid, for example, and the Lucid Air. Lucid has one dealership right now. When the car goes on sale, it'll have maybe 20. A lot of people will be buying these cars in good faith and not having driven them or even seen them.
Yeah, I can imagine. I was lucky enough to tour the Ford all-aluminum F-150 truck plant up there in River Rouge. And when you look at that, to me, the fascinating part was how they put the car together, all the robots and the assembly line. So I could see the complexity there. Why don't we move on to alternative fuels? We've talked a lot about hydrogen. What's the update there?
It's looking more and more clear that what hydrogen's role in the future will be is probably for heavy trucks and over-the-road transportation. The problem with hydrogen is, of course, that it's relatively expensive to produce or to pull out of the atmosphere, and it's difficult to distribute. We've been talking about hydrogen for 20 years, and there aren't that many more hydrogen fueling stations now than there were 20 years ago. And the problem is they're very expensive to build. So we know that Toyota and Tesla and probably the aforementioned Nikola are going to get into the over-the-road truck business. And this works well because hydrogen, which is very difficult to package, you need to put it in a cylinder and it has to be relatively large. It's also high pressure. Not easy to put in a car, very easy to fit on a big truck. Additionally, trucks all tend to go to the same places where you could put and install hydrogen fueling stations. So this is probably going to work better for commercial applications.
Yeah, we'll keep our eye on that and we'll see where it goes. We did cover a session on a hydrogen-powered plane that was quite interesting. And they talked about solving the hydrogen issue by building processing plants right at the airport. So we'll keep an eye on that one.
Yeah.
Let's move on to hybrids. They've been around for almost 20 years now. Not so exciting.
Well, the big news in hybrid is that we're going to stop talking about hybrid, I think.
That's big news.
But in a good way. It's increasingly common for vehicles to be hybrids, even though we're not talking about it. Mercedes-Benz and BMW are now developing what they call mild hybrid systems that are just standard on vehicles. The Toyota Venza, which launched this year, very nice midsize crossover, comes only as a hybrid. The Toyota Sienna, a popular minivan, now comes only as a hybrid. It's a really good short-term pre-electric solution to improving fuel economy. And it doesn't cost that much more for a manufacturer to go hybrid than it did like 10 years ago.
So to your point, the market's starting to normalize. It's not even a green car. Yes. It's just the way cars are these days. That's a good sign. Well, let's hit a big category that we've covered several times from different perspectives as trucking, and we can hit that both from semi-trucks over the road and the pickup truck market, both with lots of exciting new developments.
Yeah, the big news in big pickups too is gradual efficiency. It was last year that we started to see the Ram pickup, that's Ram 1500, that's a FCA product, now available with the two engines, either diesel or two hybrid engines. They call them mild hybrid, but they do improve fuel economy. We have seen four-cylinder pickups from General Motors, four-cylinder large pickups. Light-duty diesels available across the whole line now, Ford, Chevy, and Ram. Additionally, we have electric vehicles that we know are coming from GMC, Ford, and Chevy.
Well, Tom, I'm going to give you another one. And that means you have to tell me your number one favorite card of 2020, whether it was green or not. Can you do that?
Yeah, my favorite launch was the Toyota Venza.
Why? I would have thought you would have said the Chevy Corvette, but tell me about the Venza.
No, I like the Venza a lot. I think it's a mainstream product. It's really well-priced, but it's sort of a little Lexus. It's a very nice car. It's very fuel efficient. And Toyota's hybrids are so smooth and transparent, you don't know you're driving a hybrid. And I think most owners won't know or care. They'll just be glad they're getting close to 30 miles per gallon.
And what is the price point of the Venza?
It starts in the high 30s.
For a luxury hybrid car, that's not bad.
Not bad at all.
Any trends that you are going to prognosticate about for 2021?
Yeah, depressingly, the sedan continues to disappear. We keep seeing small crossovers and mid-sized crossovers replace sedans. There's a couple of them out there now that are just disappearing. The Ford Fusion, for example. Millions of those have been sold, but now they just trickle out of dealerships.
We talked about peak car and how the auto industry sales are declining. Is that a trend that's continuing, or has it plateaued?
Hard to tell this year because of the pandemic. The last couple of months of sales have been fairly normal, but the whole market's going to be off about 2.5 million units when we wrap things up. I keep hearing about peak car, and it's a very interesting, it's more than hypothetical, because we know people are moving to public transportation, and we know that there is affordability is a serious issue, keeping low-end shoppers out of the market. But on the other hand, post-pandemic, we may have extended the volume of auto sales for a while because people are afraid to use public transportation.
Yeah, it's been a weird year that's made it very hard to predict what's going to happen once things normalize. But the one thing I can predict is that it's always a pleasure talking to you. This really brings the show to an end. And I want to thank you, Tom, for all the time you've spent with us. I wish you and your family a safe and a happy holiday.
Well, you too. Thank you so much.
That's Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, host of the podcast Car Stuff. Find out more at consumerguide.com. I'm Robert Colangelo, and this is GreenSense. Subscribe to our podcast at greensensefarms.com. And check out the GreenSense Minute every Thursday and Saturday on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM Chicago.